Warriors Bucks.
Well, it's time for another Warriors podcast. I'm Tim Roy, your voice of the Golden State Warriors. And as you know, Golden State has added some new players into the mix. It promises to be an exciting season. I had a chance to talk to the new players when the Warriors were in Hawaii, and we're going to bring you a couple of those conversations. Kyle Anderson's going to join us later, but first up, there's a new shooter in town, and his name is Buddy Hield. No one has made more threes than Buddy in the last 5 years. He's starting his ninth campaign, and I sat down with him after a training camp practice. Hield with the catch, falling out of bounds, and he hit a three, a running three, as he caught the ball right in front of the Warrior bench. Kind of just got in the air, went whee. Hi, Tim Roy here in Turtle Bay, beautiful Hawaii, as we get set for Warriors training camp, and with one of the newest Warriors, that is Buddy Hield. And Buddy, you're a native of the Bahamas. I imagine this kind of is right up your alley. Sun, surf, sand, and basketball.
Not too much surfing, but a little bit of sun, sand, basketball, and a lot of beach, though.
Yeah. Tell me about coming to the Golden State Warriors. We're thrilled to have you here. Why did you pick Golden State?
I just think that the playing style, reactive offense, passing, running, playing fast, obviously – being around, watching them for years, helping a championship caliber team around you, and just coming here just to learn and learn how to win and try to be a champion one day.
Stephen Curry and Draymond Green are two of the best winners that this league has seen in recent times. You know, what do you expect to learn from them, and what were your thoughts about joining those two?
You know, just like I said, learning from them, like how they go about their day on the basketball court, and pick their brain and how I can better myself as a basketball player, as a leader on and off the basketball court. And it's just, like I said, you sit back and observe and watch and then just see how they learn how they win and try to use my superpower to help this team.
Your superpower, what would that be?
I guess spreading the floor and making shots.
So how did you learn how to shoot the ball the way you do?
I start off on a play a clay court. I built it my own. Just being bored in the yard, I couldn't leave the yard because my mom she's just too
protective.
Like, too protective. You know, she's very protective. You know, and just like, yo, I gotta figure out something to do, and just building my basketball court with a clay court on the lamp pole. I build it on there, and I just start like, you know, getting the basketball, and I just draw my lines, and I just learn how to shoot. Couldn't shoot with a clay court because it's square, so I used to take the arrow of the ball so it'd be flat, so I just figured it out. But
you actually pounded a crate onto a pole?
Yes, with a backboard. I did the backboard and everything. I just figured it out. You know, probably wasn't an exact measurement, but it was the right measurement because everybody in the neighborhood come to my court play. It was fun.
Now, you ended up going to high school in the States. How did that happen? Tell us a little bit about your journey from the Bahamas to the U.S.
You know, it started off with me. I used to go to showcase every year in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. You know, where kids, like a bunch of college coaches come down, where there's junior college, D2s, NIAs, probably maybe one or two Division I coaches. But like, I mean, and like the high school thing just started, like, you know, kids started going back to high school, you know, cause Bahamas, we end school very like early. And I was like, man, like I need to go to school in the States, man. That's my dream to play basketball and over there and get to the NBA. And I was like, man, like being here is not the chance. And like being on the islands, you just don't know for a bunch of track, running track. And like, right. And I used to run track at first. And like, man, I was like, man, this is like the big event is the Olympics. It only happened once a year, once every 4 years. And I was like, man, but basketball is year round and it's like, it's exciting. And I fell in love with the Florida team with Joakim Noah and Al Horford. And I started watching like Kobe Bryant and Allen Iverson go back in the finals. Like, and I was like, man, I want to be a part of this game. I want to like the fun, the momentum, the 3-point shooting make ability. Back then I was short. So I said, man, I got to learn how to shoot. I couldn't. It was very, I had a growth spurt very late. And I was like, man, I want to be a part of this game. The momentum, like the hype, the everything, like, you know, the when crowd go crazy making the three, like how they throw things in the air. And like, I just want to be a part of this game. It was so exciting to be a part of, you know, and, I just keep working. I was not the best, but, I just came to the gym and the coach is like, man, like I want you to come to my school. He didn't watch me play yet. He just liked my energy.
Right.
He just liked the energy around me. And, he watched me play. He saw that I liked to win. And he just like, man, I want you to come to school. And my mom was like, once my mom figured out it was a Christian school, she was like, man, like, okay, like, because I had an opportunity the year before, my mom didn't let me go because it wasn't a Christian school. But then after that, this guy come around and was like, one of my last chances to go. She's like, okay, buddy, this is the school you need to go to.
Was there any kind of culture shock coming to the States as opposed to living
in the Of course there was a culture shock. I come from the Bahamas straight to Wichita, Kansas. Like, of course, what you expect? Like, I went there and I was like, man, like, many nights and many days, I was like, man, like, this is really what I wanted.
Yeah.
Because I missed the home, missed the island life, walking up and down the road, street. It's so easy to commute. You can catch a bus in the States and you're trying to go to the mall. Like, you got to tell me to get a ticket to the mall because it's like 35, 45 minutes. And I was like, bro, like, I cannot do this. Like, you know, so, but then after that, especially the food, like, you know, the American food was like macaroni, like cheese and hamburgers and hot dog. I was used to like rice, steamed chicken, some plantain, some baked macaroni, like some ribs, some fried fish. Like, I couldn't get that. So, like, man, I was like just like homesick a lot. But like, after that, I just know that if I wanted something really bad, you have to sacrifice. And I keep telling myself, like, this is a great reward if you just, in the end, if you just sacrifice. Sacrifice your time and you lock in. And then after that, once basketball happened, everything became like second nature to just get adapted to it, and it was all fine.
When did you start getting recruited heavily for college?
That was another stressful thing too, because like as many days, like a lot of coaches came to the gym, and I was like, man, like, I was like, what they think about me? I asked my coach, what they think about me? He's like, oh, they like you. And that was like the everyday answer. Oh, they like you. It was like the Clemsons, the Florida States, like the Kentuckys, like the Kansas, like, I was like, man, they just like me. And I was like, man, like, I can't get an offer. Like, you know what I mean? On the school that offered me was like the Wichita States, like the mid majors. And like, I'm a kid from the Bahamas. I'm thinking big picture. Like, you know, I need to go high major. And, going into my 12th grade, that summer, I had a really good summer. I worked my butt off all summer to get to that point. I played a great summer basketball AAU. And I got recruited, and like the offers just stopped piling up. Like the Kansas, the Texas, the Oklahoma State, like the right. The whole of the Big 12, like Miami, like, you know, like only first schools I didn't get offers from was the Blue Bloods in Florida. Like I really wanted Florida, wanted to offer me because I wanted to go to Florida.
Well, you go to Oklahoma,
yes.
And you have an outstanding college career, 2-time Big 12 Player of the Year. Naismith Award honoree, Wooden Award honoree. You help Oklahoma get to a Final Four, which they don't often do.
And right.
That has to make you pretty proud looking back at all that.
Yeah, it made me proud. I'm still mad we came up short. You know, yeah. we played that Villanova team. Shucks. In Hawaii, we beat them like 30s, I think. And then they came out in the Final Four and smacked us. But, you know, it's just everything was like a learning curve, you know. For me, and it was fun. I would never trade in my life. Going to Oklahoma, I think it was the best decision I ever made in my life.
I want to go back before we get on to your NBA stuff. I have to ask you about your name. It's Shavano Rainier. Is there a story behind that?
Shavano Rainier. I think my daddy gave me that name.
Mm-hmm.
Shavano Rainier Heald. My dad's fault. Not my mom. Shavano Rainier. But now that it's Rainier. Like, I give my daughter that name, Rainier.
Oh, nice.
So now she has that name, what we call her Rainy for short. So now, that's
cool. That's something cool. You share.
Yeah, something I share about her. So, like, that's fire. But, like, yeah, they got that for name. It has nothing to do with Buddy. They got the name Buddy from the show Married with Children, from the character Bud Bundy. And the reason why they didn't call me Bud is because there was a drug dealer in the neighborhood named Bud.
Oh, okay.
And then so they add the Buddy to it. So it was a cool story behind it.
Good choice. Of the Buddy nicknames, which ones do you like? I prefer Buddy Buckets. I like that one.
I love Buddy Buckets. I get that call a lot. You know, my teammates call me that. I guess because later when they, you know, when you remember me, they remember me from like from your college days and like where the Buddy Buckets, and like that's where you're like. It was fun, you know. Like, I still get called Buddy Buckets today when everybody sees me. Buddy Buckets, Buckets, you know.
So let's get to your pro career. You've been a very durable player. You've made more threes than anybody else, including Stephen Curry, over the last five years. Yes, you have. And what I wanted to ask you is that you and Steph have something very much in common. Not only are you great shooters, but you both have an effortless form. How did you develop that to shoot from range with that kind of effortless form?
I watch a lot of Steph Curry clips. I'm not gonna lie. If it's not Kobe Bryant, it's Steph Curry. I just watch a lot of clips because I just, the way he moves, I mean, I remember the time I came, went to Oklahoma, Clay hit me up and said, man, you want to come to the game? And like, I didn't really know Clay at that time. And Clay's Bahamian, dad's Bahamian. Like, and I always know Clay, dad was from the Bahamas. I know he was like, and I was like, man, it's like, Oklahoma City Thunder's playing tonight. And I was like, man, I had didn't really like force myself to go to the NBA game because I was so focused on like getting to the NBA, but right. I never like thought about watching it. And when I got to watch Steph and Clay, I was like, man, like Steph was amazing. It's the same game when he made that three from like 40 feet out from against Oklahoma
yeah.
City.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's one of my first NBA games, I think my second NBA game, my first NBA game, I got to watch and really understand what was going on. And I just went, Clay invited me to it, and like Steph just went like crazy, and then from that day, like I was like, man, like he's everything he does is so effortless, you know, his form, his shooting, and like I just start watching more tapes of him, and like I just start like trying to like resemble and model, like I can never be like him because I'm nothing like him, but like his movement and movement of the ball, like try to study, like you know, with the ghost screening and stuff like that, and that's why every day while I'm around him, I'm just trying to watch him and observe him, where I can just be hands on to just see what he does. Where it can help me in my game because what he does is so remarkable.
You know, before you got drafted by the Pelicans, coming out of the draft, and someone reminded me of this the other day, was that your draft comp, the guy they thought, you know, whose game you most resemble coming out of college, was Del Curry.
Yeah. I seen it too.
That's pretty cool. That's, yeah. You know, he could light up as well. One of the things you have in common too with Steph and with Klay Thompson, of course, now with Dallas, is that you guys are definitely work ethic shooters. And by that, I mean, after practices, you're going to get up a whole bunch of shots. You're going to work on your form and moving without the ball, getting to a certain spot. How many shots do you take? And is it a matter of taking a certain amount or making a certain amount or just getting a feel?
It's just all the comfort of the feel. It's never like, I don't even know how many shots I make or shoot a day. I remember like it was. I remember back then of saying like, "Oh, you can get up 1,000 shots, man. Get up 1,000 shots is like hard work." And like, I remember the time of doing that. That's like a lot of work, and like it's just like you just tired on yourself. And it's like I'm just shooting to get up shots. It's more like a feeling and like a feeling good thing, you know. Like if I can get up like 500, 750, but I don't know. I'm just saying I don't know what number I can get up. But like if I don't feel good, I'm just gonna keep on shooting. And if I can make 20, 25 in a row, and if it doesn't feel good, I'm going to keep shooting. I want to shoot till I feel good. I can go, ask my trainer, I can make 25 going left off the dribble. And if it doesn't feel good, I'm still shooting till I feel good. And I can miss 2 in a row, and it feels good. The misses feel good, but then I'd still miss. So, like, there's something that I'm not doing right that's not going in, but it still felt good. So I'm just trying to, it's a feeling, comfort, and it's a mental thing that you just at peace with your shot. And once you comes at peace with your shot, and sometimes you have a day when you go a game and you go in feeling hella good and you don't make nothing. And then after that, you just come back and you weather the storm and I try to figure it out. And that's like the mental approach you had to have when you're shooting. It's going to be good days. It's going to be bad days. But it all works out and it always comes down at the end of the story.
How difficult is it to take a shot, you know, with range when you know that people know your game, right? Mm-hmm. And they're going to be coming after you. How difficult is that to do?
I mean, it's difficult because after that, because everybody knows you do best, and like it just brings a different challenge. And I think that's you gotta be mentally tough, mentally strong, and like we shoot the shots regularly about 500 times a day. You know, it's just like the mental is just like trying to get it off, make 4 or 5 a night, you know, and just to separate yourself from the whole league, and like just competitive edge that you gotta have. But then you gotta be tough minded, and that's what we like as shooters, and like just being mentally tough. Trying to find that lockless level to be at.
Now, you took the air out of the ball when you were shooting a crate, but before NBA games, I've seen you do this, especially when you were playing in Sacramento, you have to touch the ball before the game.
Oh, you're another one that recognizes that.
what's up with that?
I hate when people take the ball away from me, too. Like, there's a lot of, like, refs that won't give me the ball. Like, but it's just, like, the feel. Sometimes, like, I was being, like, from the Bahamas, I'm like, even though it's a part of Northern California, but if I go to like the East Coast and like up here, sometimes it gets cold and my arm gets so my fingers get cold and like I hate playing being cold.
Right.
And like my hand just gets numb, so I gotta like rub the ball or like feel the ball because I can feel that traction because I don't feel the traction. Like it just feels like off and like my hands just get cold and like that's why I do it. And like Even when I was in Philly, Kyle Lowry always would take the ball away from me. I was like, bro, you can touch, leave the ball alone. He's like, no, leave the ball alone. Stop messing with the ball. I was like, bro, you don't know me. I have like a problem. This is like, that's how I figured it out. And, I just gotta touch the ball, man. I just gotta feel it.
Okay. Now, summer before, in 2023, you're playing for the Bahamas.
Right.
And you got Eric Gordon, you've got DeAndre Ayton, and I don't think the average fan realized what you guys accomplished. You went down and beat Argentina twice in 1 week. That is getting it done at the world stage. What was that experience like, being coached by Chris DeMarco, Warriors assistant coach, and just being able to accomplish that?
You know, it was really fun, you know, I'm not gonna lie. There's something like you said, nobody really understanding it, but like, we would never see the point because we didn't get to our ultimate goal was Olympics. We're just a couple possessions away, one game away, or however you want to put it. You just gotta keep working, man. Like, we didn't complete the mission, you know, like, doing that is great for Bahamas basketball. But, you know, those guys are still not hungry because we feel like we still left food on the table in Spain, you know, that we didn't get to finish. And, hopefully the next 4 years we can come to California and try to redeem myself and be in the Olympic.
Well, it's still great to qualify for Olympics. It's still great.
It's still great, but it's still not good enough. I think the guy, even talking about it, still boils my blood because, I mean, it's such a fun brand of basketball to play. You know, just going against your country, going to other countries and get to represent your country with your Bahamian brothers. And I don't think that Chris DeMarco being there, he was such a great addition for our whole Bahamas nation, Bahamian nation, because he helped grow the game of basketball with not just what known from, you know, from Steve and everybody, but just him taking that challenge on was just a blessing for us. And he helped push us up 20 years instead of push us back 20 years. I don't know if you know,
right.
You know, cause without him, we'll be back 20 years, you know, cause without him, he made it right. You know, he put us the right coaching staff in places, the right film session, the right players, was in the right situation to help us get be successful. And I don't think a lot of people know that how much that meant for us and the players, and because there's no team in the Bahamas history ever made it that far, and we just one win away. And I think that next couple of years come back around, we get the team together and we figure it out. I think it'd be something special.
Now, you've worn 24 throughout your career. You can't wear that with the Warriors because it's
entire. No, I've seen that. I was going to go back to it too. Go back to it too. I couldn't go back to it.
Why 24?
242, Bahamas area code.
Ah, okay.
And I love Kobe Bryant.
Okay, yeah. There you go. Is 7 a particular number for you that you got to wear this year?
7 is because my mom has 7 kids.
Oh, great.
That's why I wear 7 in Indiana. My mom has 7 kids.
Wow.
And, that's why I wear it. And I just represent me and my family.
That's a big family. Yeah, dinner time had to be fun.
Dinners are really good. My mom is a really good cook. That's why I said, when I moved to Wichita, the food, I was spoiled because the food is amazing. You know, even she called me and said, how I'm doing? She said, let me come cook. You know, I said, no, I'm good. I'm good. You know, I try to figure it out. If you want to go somewhere, go to China Go. China Go is really good in Wichita, down in Bel Air.
Couple of questions about this year. Are you looking forward to working with Steve Kerr and learning what he knows about the game? And obviously he's a great shooter just like yourself.
Yeah, I'm just trying to pick his brain, see what he wants from me, and see how he can help us be effective on both ends. And just learn, man. I see what every coach is different. I just see what I need to learn to what Steve needs me to do so I can be when I get out there, whatever time I get, I can be the most effective player I can be in that type of time I got when I go out there.
Well, we're here at Turtle Bay. You've just got through your first workout with the team. What do you see as the potential of the squad?
You know, you just got to take everything day by day. You know, I'm not the one that's just quick prediction. You know, I feel like if we get off to a good start, you know, there's no all the Warrior Championship run teams, they got off to good starts. And then once they got off to good starts, they always being effective. And you know, once you get Steph Curry and the team and Draymond Green and those guys, Andrew Wiggins and the guys around them and a coach like Steve Kerr, you know, going to the playoffs, you know, they understand how, they know how to win. And, just being around that type of championship caliber mindsets and, people that been in the fire before, you know, they know what it takes. So, you know, just gotta be there for them when they're making those decisions and, having their back and, just following their lead.
Well, Buddy Hield, welcome to the Golden State Warriors.
Thank you so much.
My thanks to Buddy Hield. Now let's move on to Kyle Anderson. But before we do, there was a great coincidence when the Warriors went to the islands. It was the first time since 2007 that the Dubs had been in Hawaii. The last time they came, Golden State arrived with a We Believe team. And just like this season, they practiced at BYU Hawaii. In 2007, BYU Hawaii was playing basketball back then, and they had a young basketball recruit who came out to watch the Dubs. And that is current Warriors assistant coach, Chris DeMarco.
So being here this week, does it give you a little deja vu to 2007, where you're a young college student athlete here at BYU Hawaii, watching the Warriors and Baron Davis and Don Nelson invade your gym?
Yeah, no, it was pretty crazy. I think, first of all, the school is a beautiful campus, beautiful area, obviously, but the people were wonderful to me. I loved being here. And I think it was just a few weeks in when we were starting conditioning, you guys had come through. So just that experience, you're in, you know, north side of Oahu, 50 minutes from the airport, and, like, the Warriors are coming in. And, yeah, BD was here and, you know, some other guys. I remember seeing you, Eric Housen, John Murray, who's our security now, was strength coach. Like, so I definitely remembered all your faces back then. So, I mean, that was 18 years ago now.
Could you ever imagine that you would be back here but in role reversal?
No, absolutely not. I mean, at the time, I was trying to survive and be in shape for the season here. To think that, like, years later I'd be coaching and, you know, being a part of an NBA team, especially a great franchise like the Warriors, no, definitely not expected.
I know you didn't end up here, but how'd you like it here?
I loved it. Like, what's not to like, right? I think anybody who's been out to this area understands how beautiful it is. The food's great. Again, the people are wonderful, and just the access to the coast. You know, you get the climate's at night is perfect, perfect climate to walk around in during the day, hit the beach, ton of activities. I loved every second of it.
17 years later, Chris DeMarco is living his dream of being in the NBA as a well-valued and well-respected assistant coach. Now it's on to Kyle Anderson, who comes from the New York area, played for Bobby Hurley Sr. at St. Anthony's High School in New Jersey, and has established himself as a player that could fit in with every team and a player that every team wants. He's starting his 11th season, and I chatted with him in Hawaii at the beautiful Turtle Bay Resort. Anderson to the front court. Warriors playing quickly. He'll stop, backs up into a three, and hits that as well.
Wow.
Timeout, Mike Brown. 10-10 to go first quarter. Warriors 6, Kings 4. I'm Tim Roy, and we're here at the fabulous Turtle Bay Resort on the island of Oahu and the great state of Hawaii. I'm talking to one of the newest Warriors, that's Kyle Anderson, and I guess if, you know, training camp's training camp, but I guess if you have to have one, this isn't a bad spot.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I have zero complaints about the location, and we've had two great practices so far, so nothing on my plate.
Are you a water guy at all?
Yeah. I grew up going to the beaches in on the Jersey Shore, and I'm going to the beach right after this.
All right, outstanding. Tell me about coming to the Warriors and what attracted you to this situation.
Well, obviously, you know, all the success they've had in the past, and you know, when it came to me this summer, I obviously thought about my family first. Like, I'm a New Jersey kid. I'm like, you know, this be going 6 hours away again, it's going to be tough for us. But, you know, when it came to the basketball aspect of it, it was almost a no-brainer. You know, they've had a lot of high IQ guys in the past, and I think their offense and what they do on both ends, you know, you got to be able to, you know, use your brain and be smart and communicate and things like that. They've just always done things the right way. So, you know, for the basketball aspect, it was a no-brainer.
How much are you looking for the opportunity to play with, as opposed to playing against, Stephen Curry and Draymond Green?
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome opportunity, you know, to take the floor with those guys. They've just done it the right way the past 9 years, you know, even in their losses. You know, they win and lose the same way. You know, just from the outside looking in, it looks pretty fun to be a part of.
Your experience, though, you were drafted by San Antonio. At the time, they had Tim Duncan, they had Ginobili, they had Parker. Is that going to help you being around, you know, two other high-profile type of guys?
I think it does. You know, I'm very blessed to have went to San Antonio my first few, 4 years just to be around a championship atmosphere, championship players. I was never fortunate enough to win one, but just see how they prepare, see how they handle success, losses, things like that. And, you know, just for my time here already, I feel like it's very similar to my time in San Antonio.
What do you think you can learn from playing with Draymond? I mean, he did say you're a five now.
Yeah. You know, just his intensity, how he brings it every night. I mean, I think that's something that, you know, I can, you know, add to my game is, you know, playing with high level intensity every night on both ends. You know, he communicates on the floor. He directs guys in traffic. So, you know, that's something I'm just going to watch and pick his brain on and, you know, things like that.
You're a Jersey guy. You mentioned that. You went to high school at the very famous but now closed St. Anthony's. You played for the legendary coach Bob Hurley Sr. What was a Bob Hurley Sr. practice like?
Let's just say I'm happy they're over with. They were tough, man. You know, speaking of playing hard every night, that's someone who introduced me to that. And that wasn't until I was 16 years old. I was one of the best juniors in the country. And the main thing Coach Hurley taught me and with his practices is you have to be able to play hard every day. And he didn't think I did it at the time. So that's something that he brought to my game is playing hard every time I step on the floor, playing hard in practice. You know, in his practices, there's nothing. You have no choice but to be intense or it's going to turn out bad for you. So they were tough, but they prepared me for everything that, you know, I've had to encounter in for the rest of my career.
Yeah. Do you find yourself going back to maybe some things he said or some things he taught you as opposed to just playing hard?
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't walk anywhere in practice. Like, like change of drills, change of station, going to get water. Like, you have to run everywhere with Coach Hurley. You know, you just have to be intense. You have to be ready to go. I think people seen that with Danny Hurley at UConn, the way he runs his program. And I think his dad was a lot more intense than Danny. But Danny's pretty intense as well. They both do a great job of getting the best out of their players.
So, like signing with the Warriors, when you went to make your college decision, you end up going to the West Coast. You go to UCLA. What made that, you know, 3,000-mile journey worth it?
Yeah, this was more of I'm the youngest of five, so I've always felt I've been babied in, you know, my life for the first 16, 17 years. Probably, you know, my brothers and sisters will tell you I still get babied, but you know, I had established myself on the East Coast, and you know, I wanted to go out to the West Coast to make a name for myself and, you know, kind of like take on the challenge of being on my own. Like, this sounds silly, but like washing my own clothes, living on my own, you know, having to figure it out on my own. I've always had older brothers and sisters I can call to bail me out of situations. So really just wanted to kind of, you know, figure things out on my own. I knew I'd be a pro. So, you know, just enjoy that before I get to it.
You guys won a Pac-12 tournament title there. Mm-hmm. You got to the Sweet 16. You were a third team All-America, but the one that really impressed me was you were the first Bruin since Bill Walton to go 10 points, 5 boards, 5 assists in a season. That's pretty good company.
Man, that's big time. I mean, given all the great players that have came through that UCLA program, like I said it at Media Day, like, I didn't even know who Tracy Murray is at my time at UCLA. Like, there are just so many great players that you don't really hear of, or I didn't hear of being an East Coast kid that, you know, I learned about my time there. So to be, you know, in a category with Bill Walton, who is tremendous, you know, all the highlights I've seen of him in games I watch on him, that's pretty big time. That means a lot to me.
When you were out there, and maybe even to today, do you go to those legendary summertime pickup games in the old gym there?
You know, it's funny. Like, it's like every time I'm out there, I'm either not healthy or, you know, Rico hasn't started the runs yet. Like, I spend a lot of July.
The great Rico Hines, by the way, a former Warrior assistant coach.
Yes. So I did it in high school. My first two, my junior and senior year, I would be out there all the time, and I'd play it in the runs then, but never as a pro, as shocking as it sounds.
That's funny. You know, it's interesting. I have to ask you this because I was, since I've been out west since '89, I've been a huge fan of the conference. What do you feel that now you're representing a Big Ten team?
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. I'm sad about that. Like, the Pac-12 was such a great conference. You know, like even in football season, you can catch a Arizona Cal slugger at 10:30 at night on the East Coast. Like, I'm really gonna miss the Pac-12, or you know, watching UCLA USC at 10:30 at night on the East Coast. Like, that was awesome. I love the Pac-12. I'm pretty sad that it's gone. So both my high schools and the Pac-12 are gone. Like, my history is being erased.
Oh my! Well, let's hope you make some more history here. Right. Speaking of history, I was interested to find out that you have an interesting heritage, that on your mom's side, you're both Chinese and Jamaican. That's a unique combination.
Yeah, it is. But if you look back on the history of it, how a lot of people from India and China were migrating to Jamaica in the early 1900s. I think my grandfather around 1918 or 1921, around then, they were moving to work in Jamaica at that time, and then they would start families. And you know, I know a few people of Indian and Jamaican heritage, and then finally meeting more people of Chinese Jamaican heritage. It's pretty cool once you do the homework and the research on it. And yeah, my grandmother was born in Jamaica. However, her dad was born in China and left China to come work in Jamaica and started a family there. And you know, there's my grandmother.
Did I hear right? You went back to China to look up some of your family roots?
Yeah. My mother did a lot of homework, a lot of countless hours on the internet, and finding her heritage, and was able to reach out to a police department in Shenzhen, China, where my family's village is still to this day. We were able to go visit in 2018, and you know, they welcomed us with open arms. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, the Warriors had a preseason game there years ago.
Yeah. I know. I'm a little too late.
Did you get over to Hong Kong?
Yes.
Oh, isn't that spectacular?
Yes, love Hong Kong. Yes, it was awesome.
That's a beautiful place if you ever get a chance to go and visit. Other than basketball, what sort of things occupy you when you're away from the floor?
My son right now. I have two dogs, two German Shepherds, Steely and Nino. They kind of took up a lot of my time, but once my son came, he's the best. You know, he's 4 years old. This is such a fun age to where, you know, we can go in the backyard and have a lot of fun, or he loves coming on walks with me and the dog. So, you know, he takes up a lot of my time.
That's great. That's the best thing going. Yeah. You know, it's funny. Do you think fatherhood has changed you?
For sure. I think, you know, I hold the city of Memphis so near and dear to my heart because, you know, I went there a 24-year-old young adult, but I had my son there and left there a man. You know, he's just brought out the best of me on the court, off the court. You know, it's pretty remarkable.
So here in Turtle Bay, where, of course, the Warriors are in the middle of training camp, I've been watching you work out a little bit. It looks to me like you've worked on your shot. It's a little bit different approach. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that, and why do you think you want to do that at this point?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, to be on the floor in this league, you got to be able to make open shots. You don't have to necessarily be a knockdown shooter, but you have to be able to hit the open ones. I think not the season that just passed, but 2 years ago, I shot the ball at 40%, not on a high clip at all. Maybe, you know, one or two attempts a game, but I was knocking down the open ones. And last summer, I've said this a lot, I didn't have the time to prepare and work on my game due to an injury. You know, that just goes with the territory of being an NBA player. This summer, I wanted to get back to covering the bases, being able to knock down, you know, shots when I'm open and putting the work in. And I spent a lot of summer, you know, around the basket shooting, and then, you know, moved out from there, and a lot of shooting while I'm tired in my workouts. And just, you know, that's just what I love to do, is work on my game and try to get better. I want to stay in this league as long as I can. And, you know, I just love the game of basketball. So that's a no-brainer. I'm going to work in the summertime.
Your nickname is Slow-Mo. How did you get that nickname?
I always say it kind of happened from two different places at the same time. Like, the first time I was 11 and we went down to Nationals, and we played this Texas team who was really good. And after, you know, they were like, oh, you're so slow, but you're so good. You know, we're going to call you Slow-Mo. So that stuck with me. And then there's a league in Queens, New York, around where JK grew up, called ISA. And the announcer's name is Pete Edwards. He runs the league, and he gave me that nickname, and that was kind of, you know, born in the New York City area. So, you know, it kind of came together, and everybody, that's just what everybody knows me as now.
Well, when I first got to the Warriors, we had another kid from Queens who wore 17. He was not very quick to the basket, but he's in the Hall of Fame. That's Chris Mullin.
Oh,
so,
yes.
Yeah, so yeah. That's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that nickname. Right. Chris would take his sweet time getting to the rim, but he would get there.
Man, yeah, he was really good. Yeah. He was really good.
Who were your basketball heroes growing up?
My basketball heroes, obviously my dad. He was a high school coach my whole life until I was about 14 years old or 13 years old. So I was always in the gym, and you know, he the way he sees the game, you know, plays a big part on my high IQ. He's taught me a lot with it. And my older cousin, he played at NJIT. And, you know, I was his little cousin. I just looked up to him and thought the world of him. And, you know, he kind of introduced me to Allen Iverson and watching the NBA. And so those two kind of, you know, really, sparked the plug with, you know, my basketball career. And obviously I have two older brothers who also played a huge part in, you know, helping me get to where I am today.
When you, you know, see your success, you know, how much of that do you get to share with them?
Yeah, a lot. They tell me all the time that they live vicariously through me. So, you know, it means a lot to me every time I step out on the floor. And, you know, one of my favorite basketball moments is I hit a big shot in Dykeman for the game to be over. It was a game winner. And my brothers came onto the court and, you know, dapped me up and gave me a hug. And, you know, that was like top three favorite basketball moments for me of all time. It's like the park was killing me. Like, they were making fun of me. They were yelling. I wasn't playing well in the first half. They're heckling me. You know how New York City is. And I hit the shot to send them home. And, you know, they came out in the court. And, you know, that's one of my favorite moments in my career.
Let's talk about the Warriors for a second. You've been with a lot of good teams. In fact, you've played against the Warriors three times in the playoffs. So you know what a good team looks like. What do you see with this team, and what kind of a ceiling do you give it?
Yeah, obviously we have Steph, so, you know, that always puts us in a good position to win games. But I see a lot of depth on our team. You know, it's like, before seasons, you could kind of gauge what the rotation would be. But, you know, who knows what it would be. You know, you got a lot of good players here at camp. So, you know, I know that's bringing out the best of me to compete for minutes. I know everybody else has the same mindset. But whatever Coach Kerr comes up with at the end, we're obviously playing for each other. You know, we have a lot of depth on our team. So a lot of confidence in whoever Coach Kerr rolls with.
Have you talked to Steve about what he expects from you?
A little bit. I'm sure we'll get into it more as we get closer to first game. But, you know, he's gave me a brief rundown on you know, what he expects. And it's not anything that I can't do or that he knows I can't do. I think he knows. I think they all know what they got when they brought me in.
Well, I think we do, which is a really good basketball player. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your time. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's been a big portion of your time because your beloved New York Mets are playing in a playoff game.
Yes.
So I really appreciate it. I know it was a great effort. And welcome to the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Warriors Podcast. I'm Tim Roy. My thanks to the man who does all things audio for Golden State, R.C. Davis. We hope you enjoy the conversations. More coming your way next week when I talk with Moses Moody and another conversation with one of the newcomers, and that is D'Anthony Melton. Stay tuned for that. And again, thank you for listening to the Warriors Podcast. Talk about it with your friends and get it where you get yours.